Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to A Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is Layla, and we're so happy to have you here with us. But before we get into the Word, we're going to take a moment and pray. Lord, we thank you for today, Lord, and we thank you for the joy in our lives, Lord, and the smiles on our faces that we get to wake up with each morning, Lord, and we thank you for the fresh anointing of your Spirit that you cause to fall on us, Lord. We thank you for the strength that you give us, the vigor, the excellent eyesight, memory, recollection, all faculties fully functioning and firing in all cylinders, Lord, and we just thank you for your life that's in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus' name, amen.
And amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. So glad to have you with us as we continue our study in 2 Thessalonians, diving into the Word, so that way we too can truly understand and walk in our faith, standing in faith for the Lord and waging a good warfare against the adversary. Mm-hmm. So this morning we are again in chapter 1, and we are covering the first 8 verses. So whether you're joining us for the first time or you're rejoining us, I'd like to encourage you to go ahead and pause the episode to read through that section of scripture and just make things easier to follow along in the discussion. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And at this time, the floor is open to give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you and to ask any questions that you have. So who'd like to begin?
I would.
All right, honey.
I just wanted to kind of finish off what I was saying in the last episode when we were talking in Revelation chapter 13 and chapter 14. Just because I'm turned right here right now, chapter 14, verse 12, we read where it says, "Here's the patience of the saints. Here are the ones who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." That word patience isn't just
bearing with or enduring.
Tolerating something. Exactly. You know, I wanted to go, oh, you know, like you got the little burden on your back and you're just trying to lug through it and you're barely scraping by and the sweet by and by one day you'll be delivered from your burden. It's not that. It's a tactical word. And the word there actually means steadfast. Here's Amen. The steadfastness of the saints who understand what's actually going on. And bringing that back to 2 Thessalonians, where he tells them in verse 5, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. And so really it is, when he says that here, he's saying, hey, this is your steadfastness. This is your grounding. This is what sets your eyes in a focus to know and understand what season that you're in, what times that you're in, and what you should garner or gather in this situation. This is what you should take away from it. God is signifying to you that you are on the right track with him. Amen. Stand your ground. And he's signifying to you that you should not fail or quit, because this is actually what's taking place behind the scenes. You cannot see what's going on in the spiritual realm. You can only see with their natural eyes. You can only see the evidence of what's happening in the spiritual realm. And he's telling them to, you know, gird your loins, the loins of your mind. And, you know, when they would say that about people like Elijah, that he girded his loins. I mean, he tied up his long tunic and his covering, his cloak, up around his legs so he could run.
Yes, above his knees so he could run, sprint, whatever the case is.
So he could run and not fall down and not get tripped in that long garment. That when it's, you know, down and flowing the way it's supposed to be, it's doing its purpose. But when it's time to run, you better tie that thing up and get yourself ready and focused in your mind to get down the road. Mm-hmm. And he girded his loins and he ran. And Hebrews actually tells us to strengthen our hands that hang down and strengthen the feeble knees so that they don't quit. And it's gird your loins, get yourself together, and remember who you are in Christ Jesus and what the big picture that is happening around you, the spiritual picture. We know the attacks come from the adversary, and the Lord has already defeated him. He's already ruled over the adversary, and we're just standing in his footsteps, and we're walking with him in that. So I love that strategic word, and it is an action word, you know, that tells us a certain command that goes out to those who are astute in the spiritual realm to understand and recognize this, pay attention, and do what the Holy Spirit is actually moving on. Get in line with that.
Amen. I love that you brought that up, the patience and steadfastness, because in this introduction, Paul extends grace and peace, right? Mm-hmm. So he literally mentions that in verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. But then verses 3 and 4 are very interesting. And it's interesting for this reason. He's first writing this letter because the Lord is prompting him. But also, the Lord is prompting him. There's always a why. There's always a reason to encourage them to stand in their faith, mm-hmm. right? There are issues happening. There's a continuation of persecution, but there's also a questioning of things that are happening, of doctrine that has been received, right? Or what they have heard, and they are questioning where they are at in and with the Lord. Well, verses 3 and 4, Paul writes and is actually building them up. He's not saying, hey, you missed it here. He is encouraging them and saying, hey, no, you're doing these things right. And there's actually four different things listed. So I'll read the verses and then we'll just state them plainly, right? We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. So the four things are this: growing faith, right? Or faith that is growing exceedingly. Now, let's also recognize, I should have prefaced it by saying this, this is a very young church. They are young in the Lord, but they have a maturity that is well beyond their years. Why? Because they are pressing in to everything that the Lord has given them up to this point, right? But they're not settling there. They're continuing to press on in the Lord. And in that, yes, they also saw the example given through Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, that we, in Acts, when we were looking at Acts 17, for that 3 to 4 week period that they were there. But they're not stopping there. So the first thing was their faith that grows exceedingly. But then the second thing is this: they were abounding in love, right? Love for every one of you abounds towards each other. We were talking in our study of 1 Thessalonians about faith, hope, and love, right?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, we'll just go to 1 Corinthians 13, and we'll look at what love is. That's in 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And in the beginning of verse 8, it says, love never fails. So when he's talking about this love here in 2 Thessalonians, right? The love of everyone abounds toward each other. They are all operating in the love commandment and in their love walk, first towards the Lord, but also to their neighbors, their self, encouraging each one of them to again remain steadfast, as you were talking about, honey. They have a patience, right? is the third thing that Paul mentions here, which is he first mentions that they boast of you among the churches of God for your patience, right? And your faith in all your persecution. So there's two parts there. There's patience during trouble, but also, as you brought up, honey, there's steadfastness and faith in that trouble.
And I believe that's what the word, as I'm looking it up here in the NASB 95, it says steadfastness is what they have for your perseverance, or that's in verse 4, or patience. So the New King James calls it patience. The NASB 95 calls it perseverance. But then they also have the word steadfastness there as well, which is what we read back in Revelation.
Amen. Now, all these things are important, but I love how the Lord, through Paul, is first encouraging them by saying the things that they're doing well. And the Lord always gives us what we need, even when we don't truly understand what we have need of, right? He's saying you're doing these things, but encouraging them to continue. The Lord brought to my remembrance in Galatians, chapter 5, verse 7, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? And yes, that's concerning Christian liberty, but isn't that exactly what is facing, or what those in Thessalonica, here in 2 Thessalonians, they are facing? It's concerning their Christian liberty and conduct. It's not so much about food or drink or things of that nature, right? Yes. But it's how they carry and conduct themselves, especially when they are being squeezed, when there are seemingly attacks on all sides. There's actual persecution, both the physical kind, because there are those that have perished, that have gone on with the Lord, and there are laws and liberties that are looking at, that they are trying to undo here in Thessalonica. You're going to say something, honey?
So you're saying the spirit of the Antichrist? And
absolutely.
The spirit of the age, the spirit of the wicked one, the devil is trying to undo their liberty so he can bring them into bondage again. Is that right?
Exactly. Okay. And so it's very similar to what Paul wrote to the Galatians. But understanding it here in Thessalonians, right? You mentioned that actually in a previous episode about understanding the same spirit that they're operating in all these different places, which is the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of the age, mm-hmm. the adversary working in and through those that will participate with his plan. Mm-hmm. So he's telling and encouraging the Thessalonians, don't enter into that. It will bring you back into bondage. Continue, remain steadfast and in love, in faith. Look out for those, strengthen those that are around you. Mm-hmm. So they too will continue. And but then begins something that we had already started talking about, like understand what will happen to those that are attempting to do this mm-hmm. when the Lord brings about his judgment and vengeance. Like, let the Lord have his way. Don't try to exact it for yourself. You just continue.
And know that it will happen.
Absolutely.
And not that you're sitting there like Jonah on the hillside going, where's the fire, Lord? Now,
I've got my popcorn watching.
Yeah, right. A glass of lemonade while I watch this go down. That's not what I say. We're not to rejoice when our enemies fall. And we should always be looking for the redemption and the saving of the human that's currently being used by the adversary. We should always be looking for their redemption and want that door, that hope to remain open for them. And we take it to the devil. We put our foot on his head and we keep him under our feet and we stomp on him and everything else. I did want to say this, and this is what I was, I think, when we were finishing up 1 Thessalonians 5, I said there was something that Layla said that I wanted to come back to. And
mm-hmm. yes.
Here it is, that they, and also was kind of referenced in this, since we've been in 2 Thessalonians, they are maturing quickly.
Amen.
They are growing up, but they lack experience.
There it is.
Which is why the Lord is ministering through the Apostle Paul, who was once himself growing rapidly and understanding some of the points of God, but he lacked experience on how to judge or properly discern what was happening in his life. And the Holy Spirit had to teach him. And then he began to walk it out in experience. So the Lord is using the experience that he's already poured into the Apostle Paul to pour into these who are growing up. They are grabbing hold of certain components, but they lack experience in judging, discerning what's happening. That's what I mean by the word judging, discerning what's going on around them and actually maintaining their actions of steadfastness long-term in light of this, that, and the other. And when the adversary turns the heat up hotter, or the people are, there's more people gathered against them now, or anything of that nature, to know that you're on the right track. You didn't miss it, whether it be the rapture or your, the trajectory of, am I in the right religion? I'll just put it that way. Is it right? Did I pick the right Lord and Savior to follow? Yes, you did. Yes, you're on the right track. Here's what we know, because this is a spiritual law that God has set forth. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Amen. God will deal with the unrighteous tribulation that is being placed upon you. God will deal with that. So don't feel like you're doing something wrong just because it looks this way, just because there's a tumult and he's showing, adding to their maturity, the experience that's needed for the full rounding of perseverance. You got to have that experience with it, because even, for example, we teach you guys things all the time. I can give you a class on how to cook a dish.
Yes, mommy.
And you are well prepared to start putting your hands on it. But when you get there and you got to manage the heat yourself, you got to put the right cooking dish on the eye. You got to look at the oil in the bottom of it, or make sure the ingredients come in the right sequence. There can be a sudden uncertainty that grasps you. And even though you were coached, even though you were instructed long before you put that dish in your hand, or you thought you wanted to cook it, and even if we talked about it specifically, the application sometimes can bring uncertainty with it. So you need someone to come alongside you and go, nope, you're okay. This is exactly where you're supposed to be right now, because this is what God is doing. This is whose Holy Spirit is, our Lord and Savior. And this is how he's moving. You're on track. But now here's what's coming next. Get ready. Get your garlic ready. You're going to put it in at this time, and then you're going to stir it around, but don't let it burn. Right?
Yes, mommy.
And that's a natural
and the next step, and the next
example.
Step,
and that's right. So on until completion. So he's bringing that experience that the Lord already cultivated in the Apostle Paul, not for waste, not so Paul could be awesome, but because God was going to harvest that experience and pass it on to the next generation of sons and daughters of the Most High God coming up and rising to their place in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Which flows into what we're supposed to be doing, what our job is in this earth. We're here to prove God right, that what he said is truth and what he said is accurate, because it is. Now, As you mentioned, Mama, the adversary is going out of his way to make us believe that we missed it, that we chose the wrong Lord and Savior, which if you chose Jesus, you made the best choice you're ever going to make in your entire life.
Mm-hmm. The only one that matters.
Stick with it. Stick with it. He is going to try to get you off that track, but our job isn't to prove ourselves right to other people. It isn't to prove ourselves right to God, because there's none righteous. No, not one. Mm-hmm. Unless you're in the Lord and you are following him, then okay, you're righteous at that point. And we're here to do the Lord's will, and we're here to prove him right. That's going back to the manifest evidence of the righteousness, or the righteous judgment of God. We're here to manifest that, to show that and display it. All throughout the Gospels, the Lord Jesus spoke about this in his natural ministry, about the light, that we were the salt and the light of the earth. If the salt loses its flavor, it's worthless. Mm-hmm. If the light is under a basket, it is also worthless. So we're put in positions and places where we can disperse the love and the fragrance of God, because there are other people that need to partake of that need that opportunity. And if we're too afraid to stand, or we're too afraid to go to battle, we'll never be that light, that city on a hill. We will never be that salt with good flavor that you want to put in your delicious dish to serve to other people. If David had been afraid to go up against the Philistines, he wouldn't have been the king of Israel. First of all, if he was afraid to go up and face Goliath in the first place, or to accept the call and the anointing that the Father had on his life to be the king of Israel, he never would have been there. There wouldn't be, the kings would not have been measured up against David. Mm-hmm. You weren't as my servant David. You walked like your father, my servant David. There would not be a part in Scripture. He would not be listed in the heroes of the faith either. And he would not be listed in Revelations when we're talking about, or the Lord is talking about, shepherding his sheep and having, you know, leaders, if you will, over his flock. That wouldn't be the case if he had been afraid to go to battle and to go to war. So we can't get upset when we aren't seeing the victory if we're afraid to go to battle. We have to put that armor on. We have to ride that horse. We have to wield that sword, and we have to go after it, because when Jesus is coming back, there's a sword coming out of his mouth, and he's sitting on a horse. He's not hiding in the corner sucking his thumb with a safety blanket. He's going to work, and so should we.
Amen. Amen.
Amen to that. All right. There's a lot in there, so we're going to pause there for today and allow time for you to search out the scriptures and allow first and foremost, allow Holy Spirit to minister to you. So that being said, can I get a volunteer to close us out in prayer, please?
I will.
All right, Layla.
Lord, we thank you for the joy that we've had in this discussion, Lord. We thank you for girding us up, Lord, strengthening us, Lord, equipping us, Lord. And we're ready to go, Lord. Just tell us what to do, Lord. And we are thankful that you're by our side every step of the way, Lord, that you're here to guide us into all truth and show us things to come, Lord. And that you're here to reveal those areas that are weak in our lives, Lord. And you're willing and able and capable of strengthening them, Lord, and strengthening us. We thank you for the time that you have put into cultivating a spirit, soul, and body, Lord, to bring restoration and refreshment to us, Lord, so that we're able to do everything that you've asked us to do, Lord. And we ask that you bless our partners and listeners, Lord, that you continue to minister to them, Lord, that they see accelerated growth in you, Lord, and their maturity and their understanding of your heart and your character, Lord. And we just thank you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' amen. Almighty name, amen.
And amen. We love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about a day of prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter, where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop.
Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So until next time, take care and God bless you.